people that weren't here last week, so we'll go ahead and go over the, this list again. And we are on personality. All right, personality of the Holy Spirit. The reason this is important is because it shows that he's not just somebody up there just waiting on us to reach out to him, and he's in the vast nothingness of space, and he actually has a personality. And I believe it's in Psalms chapter 2. The Bible says that David's talking about the Lord's enemies. And the Bible says there that when his enemies are going to come up against him, and the Bible says he's going to have them in derision, and he will laugh at them. So here's his enemies coming up against him, and he's going to laugh in their face. Now, that shows you, first of all, the Lord has a sense of humor. It also shows that he's got a little bit sarcastic, a little bit, he can be vengeful. Amen. So he's not just someone that we can relate to. The Bible says in, it's there in, somewhere halfway through Matthew, he's talking to the Pharisees, and he does what Christ does, and he's discussing things with them. And the disciples turn around, they say, "Christ, don't you know what you just said to those Pharisees?" And they're offended. "You offended the Pharisees, Lord." And the Lord said, "Well, the blind follow the blind, they'll both fall in a ditch." That's his response to, "You offended someone." And the reason why this it's important to understand this is because when men come about, and they are, they have been, and they always will be, come to destroy the gospel and the image of Christ. And so it's important to listen to men who have something to say. But I would say even more important to that than that is to judge what they say by Scripture. And we've got a great pastor, and I'm going to listen to what he has to say. But at the same time, as my own edification, my own growing, I compare it to Scripture. Amen. He is the authority. He is the authority placed on our lives. Amen. And that's good. But there's nothing wrong with you taking what he says and taking it to Scripture. Not a thing in the world wrong with that. And that's what we ought to do. So that is the personality of the Holy Spirit. He'll laugh. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus wept. He didn't have to cry. He could have saved Lazarus, and he wouldn't have any reason to cry. He allowed him to die, and then he wept. Why did he weep? He wept because the people he loved were in trouble, and they were upset. He cried with them, and he didn't have to do that. When Jesus ate fish with the disciples there around the campfire after he was resurrected, listen, he was in his spiritual form. He was no longer a man, and he ate fish, the Bible says. Well, he didn't hunger. He wasn't hungry at all. He was a spiritual being after that, and he ate fish. Why did he do it? Well, probably because he enjoyed just eating. I know I do. Amen. And he wanted to hang. He was hanging out, literally. Now, that's not to say that we bring Christ down so low that we're just rubbing elbows with him, and Jesus is my homeboy. God forbid. If he's my homeboy, amen, then I don't have any business hanging out with somebody like that, period. He's holy. His attributes are far greater than we could ever comprehend, but he's accessible to you and I. That's the amazing part of this. It's remarkable. All right, personality, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, just as the Father and the Son are persons. All right, if you look at the, it's not so much a hierarchy in the sense that God's up here and the Holy and Jesus Christ is second and the Holy Spirit's last. No, it is on a horizontal scale where you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and one is subordinate to the other. And they're all equal in their attributes. However, they don't speak of themselves. The Holy Spirit does what he's told by the Father and the Son. The Son does what he's told by the Father. That's the order of it, but there's no less importance in the pecking order, okay? His personality is shown through his personal characteristics. He has a mind and intelligence. He has a mind and intelligence. Secondly, he has knowledge. His knowledge is perfect and infinite. This is who we rely on. Amen? We pray to God the Father, and He accommodates us through the Holy Spirit. That's how that works. That is the order. Why is it important we have the Holy Spirit? Because that's the way God set it up, okay? We have access through the Father by means of the Holy Spirit. He has knowledge. All right, He knows our most intimate thoughts. Boy, that's scary. David said, Lord, search me and know me. David's a better man than I. Search me and know me. Our deepest, most intimate thoughts. Amen. Our dreams, our goals, all those things. Best thing for us is to give it to Him. He knows our works. He knows our deepest inner needs. Thank God for that. He knows how we should pray. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we pray. I have been there. I know you have been there. Now listen, this is not automatic where I'm just going to sit back in my recliner and the Holy Spirit's doing all my bidding. I mean, God expects you. Now listen, it's not by faith unless you take the first step. You start it by praying. The Holy Spirit takes up the slack. God, I don't know how to pray. Amen. That's why, and Paul said it, if God will, what is the will of God? Who's the man asking that question? Who's the woman seeking after the will of God? Lord, is this your will? Lord, answer this according to thy will. No, Lord, I want you to do all these things over here. No, it's according to his will. He knows our hearts. Amen? He has a will of his own. Christ said, not my will, but thine be done. The Holy Spirit has a will. But he said, but again, what he's subordinate to the Father, takes his orders from God Almighty. All right, he leads and guides. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Thank God for that. He commands. You know, so many verses in the Bible are commandments, not suggestions. He forbids. Thank goodness for that. I spoke about that last week, about the fact that there are often times where if we'll listen, there's a lot of forbidden going on, but we don't listen. He helps our infirmities. Five, he calls men to work and assigns them duties. And we'll get into more of this. This is just preliminary. This is just introduction, amen, to get into this, for us to become familiar with this. And that's what we want. We don't want familiarity that breeds contempt. We want familiarity so that when he moves and speaks, that we're ready and able to listen. And you say, well, why would I'm always ready and able? Well, that's not necessarily so. And the Bible says to stir up your gifts. And the fact is that it takes faith, it takes the right heart to be able to obey. And it's this concept, it's this idea with someone who's getting saved. And I don't know if you guys have seen that, but someone who's struggling, there's an internal struggle whether or not to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you reject him? Yes, you can. Can you grieve the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. And if we're not careful and if we don't yield ourselves, okay? Now, in Alabama, a yield sign means pedal to the metal. Amen? But spiritually speaking, yield is to say you stop what you're doing. Just stop. You'll never go wrong in the Christian life. Just stop. Now, there's a time to go to battle, and that'll be very, very clear. Most of the time, what we as Christians need to stop, yield, and let him lead and guide us. But oftentimes, many Christians, they don't want to be led by anyone. They don't want to be pastored by anyone. They don't want anyone telling them what to do, even God Almighty. He speaks. Who's listening? All right. Pretty much caught up here. Number seven, he cries out. All right, Galatians 4:6, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying. Now, it's not crying, it's not a weeping, amen. And I like this. I mean, you come across this, and it's those words in the Bible you come across, and you're like, I know what that means, but if you stop and think about it. Now, when a baby cries, he's actually yelling. Look at me. Tend to me. Give me what I want. John 1:23, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." That's not just shouting. That is an impassioned listen. This is serious. Acts 8:7. Once again, I love using the Bible to define itself. Acts 8:7, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. So he cries out. And sometimes that's what it takes for you and I, amen? Simply put, there's sometimes that the Holy Spirit is going to have to shout to get our attention. It shouldn't be that way. Now, listen, my prayer to the Lord is, Lord, may there never be a time in my life where you don't convict me of something that I'm doing. I'd rather have a course correction. Now, I say that. I have seen situations where God, where he's taken children to somebody's attention. But God looks on the heart. And if he sees you love him and you really want to do something for him, listen, he will course correct and he'll do what it takes to put you back where you belong. Why? Because you're not your own. Belong to him. And I've heard people pray that, say it before. Well, be careful praying for patience, because that might be a rough go. Well, at the same time, and I'm about to get to that here in a minute, but there's a thing called progressive sanctification. You get saved, born again, you're justified. God justifies you. Amen? That's a one-time work. Progressive sanctification is that we may be sanctified until we die and go to heaven. Why? To be conformed to his image. All right, what's it going to take? Well, for some more than others, you're on the potter's wheel. Boy, some got a lot more clay to smooth out than others do. Amen. That's just the case. You see somebody going through it. We're sympathetic. We see somebody going through hard times. We're like, oh man, I hate that one. Our first instinct is to help them. Well, you don't know if that's something that's self-inflicted. You don't know if that's God putting them through something. Once again, that's why we have the Holy Spirit. Lord, can I help these people? Yes or no? He forbids. Don't help them. Well, that's not very Christian, right? Well, it needs to be Bible. Let him speak. Let him yell. Let him cry aloud in our hearts to tell us exactly what it is that he wants us to do. There's a yes and there's a no. And if it's a no, accept it. Come to him neutral and say, Lord, I'm ready for the answer no matter what it is, okay? All right, now give it to me. What is it? Either way, I'm ready. Instead of pushing and grieving the Holy Spirit, amen? 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Oh, we don't fear God. Anybody believe that the Lord is terrible and awful? Well, if you read the Old Testament, he's pretty terrible. He's pretty awful. Rough. The way he slaughtered people like cattle. God Almighty, yes, he did. Boy, you're talking about grace. You want to know grace? Compare the Old Testament to the New Testament. You'll find out what grace is. But listen, just because he didn't take it out on so-and-so that you know is doing wrong, well, he didn't. They did wrong and nothing happened to them, so I should be fine. That's because you're not going back to the Bible for the Lord to tell you what's what. Now, God, and I say this, and preachers preach this, and I've had God prove me on it, but listen, Lord, with all grace and sincerity and compassion, please correct me when I need it. Please. And I say that with a giant grain of salt, but boy, it's true. Why? Because the reason I breathe, the reason I draw a breath is to be conformed to his image and please him by what? Any means necessary. What about all those folks that burn at the stake for having a Bible? Oh, we'll never see that in our generation. I don't know. I hope not. And listen, for some of us, it's going to be a ministry of simply being good church members and tithing and giving and being an example in the believers, and you may never go through anything. But if you don't, that's what God has for you and not for them over there. Cries out. Isaiah 58:1. Cry aloud. Why is a preacher so loud? I'll tell you something. I've been saved since I was 5 years old. And there are times I don't like the preacher crying out at me. I don't like it. I wish he'd hush. If you're going to be honest with it, just be honest with yourself. I don't want to hear this right now. But Lord, I need it. And if you'll put yourself down, you'll find out what he has for you. Where? At that screaming, sweating, spitting preacher. You can't listen. If the Titanic's going down and you're trying to get women and children off there, you don't, you know, just... You are going to cry aloud. Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud. Fear not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show thy people their transgression. Jesus was a street preacher. There's a lot of churches that have a real problem with that. We used to go down in Pensacola when I was in Bible school and preach across from a bar. And you know who gave us the most trouble? The local churches. They would come down there and try to reason with us. Please shout at those people at that bar. They're just trying to have a good time. Well, Jesus was a street preacher. Oh, no, he was not. He would never do that. Well, you don't know your Bible. Go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. How do you compel someone? It's not passive. Do you want to? No. Okay, thanks. No, that's not Christ. That's not Bible. Cry aloud. All right. 8. He testifies. Testify. All right, when you testify, I said this last week, and it's always been an interesting thing to me. Your testimony means a whole lot. Sometimes that's your testimony may be the only thing that keeps somebody going. It may be. Your testimony is very important in a church service to testify what the Father's done for you. Now listen, when you get up and testify, it's good for other people to hear it, but it's not a performance. Amen. It's not going to mean as much to everyone else that's listening as it does between you and the Lord. Okay? You may not be able to testify as well as Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so. You may not be able to. But the reason you're doing it is because before men, when you get saved, you want to give a testimony before men. Why? For his sake. And you get people involved, they turn everything into the Oscars, and it's ridiculous. It is. You get up, you testify. Why? Because, Lord, you're worthy, and I'm doing it before your people because you told me so. He testifies. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand sufferings of Christ and glory that should follow. The Holy Spirit testifies to every believer about Christ and other spiritual things and gives us power to testify to others of the great truths of our faith. Now, I don't know if you've heard this testimony I've heard it over the years of people who got saved and they won the most people to the Lord when they first got saved. And you know how they did that? Well, what they did was they told others what Christ did for them. It is that simple. If you're worried about Bible doctrine, now you're going to get out in the street, you're going to find some lunatic who wants to argue doctrine. And that's fine. When it comes to witnessing, you have to prepare to be vulnerable. You may not know it all. You may not, and that's okay. You don't have to. The Holy Spirit, and I'm fixing to come up on this, but he is going to, listen, he has all knowledge. He has all knowledge. He's a great big know-it-all. When the time comes, he's going to put exactly what you need to say in your mind. Have you ever said something to someone, and later they said, man, I can't believe you said that because this is what was going on in my life when you said that, and you didn't even realize it. So that was happening, and you said the right thing at the right time. Who is that? The Holy Spirit. That's what that is. He testifies, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now look, if you've got a Spirit of truth, you've got the opposite with what churches and other things that are going on today. And I'm not a blanket statement to them all churches. That's not what we're doing. There's good people in different denominations, and I'll continue to say that because that's not who we are. We get accused of being militant, and in some ways, it's good to be. But what the Baptists lack most often is compassion. But listen, Christ was the same way. When it was time to take action, he took action. He took the whip, and he drove them out of there. The next thing you know, he looked upon the multitudes, and he was moved with compassion. It's this multifaceted thing. And we're supposed to be like Christ. All right, well, how am I supposed to act in this situation? Pray. See, that's what the Christian life is. Bow your head. If you can't do that, then do a quick prayer. Lord, I'm going into the situation. I don't know what to do, but you do. I need your help. And boy, he's faithful. Every single time, he'll help you. All right, he testifies. All right, number 9, teaches. All right, this is a big one. There are some, there are some folks who are nigh unteachable. Knowledge puffeth up. The Bible says when you get knowledge, okay, fine, get knowledge, that's good. But get wisdom and understanding. Understand what you're doing. Just because you know it all doesn't mean that you can perform the work that God has for you to do. That God places a calling on someone's life when he commissions them to do something for him. It's the X factor. You want an X factor? That's it. It's God saying, hey, I approve, and he puts his hand on you, and you're able to perform. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. What's our responsibility? Availability. And you know what happens oftentimes? I'm available. Now, what do you want me to do? I wouldn't have picked that, Lord. I don't want to do that. I'm gonna keep serving you over here the way I want to, and I hope you're going to be happy with it, with my basket of fruit. Oh, you are a fruit. And it's sad. I have seen some talented people. I have watched men who could put an outline together like nobody's business. Wonderful public speakers. Good with people, charismatic. They spend their whole life never trusting on God for anything. Not a single thing. It's a tragedy. He teaches, Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance. Amen. Whatsoever I said unto you. The ability is also mentioned in Nehemiah 9:20. And in John 16:13, the Holy Spirit then is a teacher, has knowledge, stores up knowledge, reveals knowledge, passes on knowledge, confirms knowledge, and calls back knowledge to our remembrance after we have forgotten it. We have an advocate. We've got someone in our corner. Amen? If you were lonely, that's because the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, God loves us, but he simply just, I say simple, nothing simple about it, didn't just die for us. Now, he could be our Father in heaven, far, far away, but he's not just that. He's our friend. And that is remarkable. Have a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. You know what a good friend will do? He'll reveal the best things in you. Or she will reveal the best things in you. And you're really good at that. I think you should. Well, I've got, the longer I live in life, the more you realize there's a difference between people you know, acquaintance, and an actual friend. Givers and takers, and I talked about that the other day, but so often that's what people are. It's completely self-centered. That's not Christ, man. He's our friend. He teaches. All right, after our justification in Christ, the Holy Spirit begins the process of progressive sanctification. Now, we got these big words here, and that's fine. I like a $5 word, okay, because it allows you to say one thing quickly that means a whole lot of things, and that's good. But progressive sanctification is the idea that after we're justified, we're saved, born again, from now to the day we die. Now, listen, the final step of sanctification is going to be when we die and we're exactly like Christ. That's the last part. But getting through this journey, you say, well, when does my progressive sanctification end? When you die. And what you come to realize is that I've seen young people, I've seen middle-aged folks, I've seen older folks, I'm not calling myself old yet, but I have seen all these stages of life, and they're all in different stages, and some are later than others. Older folks who surrender to the mission field and surrender to what the calling that God has for them, he enables them. It's not age restrictive. It is not. Boy, if you've messed up, one of the things the devil wants to tell you, the devil tells you tomorrow. Do it. Surrender. Go. Do it. And watch what happens between now and tomorrow. And if you're not where you want to be, or if you're not, and you know you're not where you're supposed to be. You know, so often we preach about things and preach in the idea that people just, you didn't know. They'll do better. So people know exactly what they're doing most of the time. You're doing wrong, and you know you're doing wrong. And you need the Holy Spirit to come in and help you and direct you. And the scary thing to me is resisting the Holy Spirit. That's where you get in trouble. God will put up with actions a long time, but He will not put up with a bad heart. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. There it is. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. So now you see the importance. I mean, this begins to flesh out a little bit. 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. And I find personally that if I have a name to put on what's happening, it tends to make a little bit more sense to me. Start to get a picture of what's going on. And when you enrich yourself with the Bible, when you allow the Holy Spirit to teach you and to guide you and to lead you, it makes more sense. And because when you're a self-serving do-nothing, amen, and bad things happen to you, then your whole world is turned upside down because you think you're supposed to have it smooth and no problem. And one of the toughest things for us, I imagine, would be the fact that, I'm doing good, and why are bad things happening to me? See, in God's eyes, it's not bad and good, because He may send something bad in your life for your good. And one of the most important things is not to be weary when God chastises you and I, and to understand the chastisement. Now, if you're a big dummy, and you do something, and you mess it, then that's on you, amen. But it's important to understand, all right, what is happening? Again, stop, yield. Lord, what is going on? He'll show you. All right? Let's turn to Romans 6:13. Romans 6:13. All right, Romans 6:13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Now, if you're having to yield, when you approach a yield sign, you're making a conscious decision to slow down. You may have to stop. But listen, it's important for us understand what's going on in our lives and that God cares for us every step of the way. And the devil will convince you that you're all by yourself. There are times that are lonely. I mean, there are times you'll be in a room full of people and be lonely as you can be. And what's happening in the world, when you have a world without God, you have people that are frustrated. They don't understand what life's about. They try to fill something in their life with everything they possibly can. And it's because what they're lacking is what they don't have, and that's the Holy Spirit. That's God in their lives. All right? Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness and sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive, amen? I don't want a dead book. I want an alive book. Alive. Life. Choose life. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I can't be righteous. I can't do that. I'm not a holy person. You are. Predestinated to be a holy person. Righteous and sanctified. All those words that you didn't understand as when you were younger, and I'll never be that. Yes, you are that. You have to understand what those words mean in your applied to your life. And you look, you cannot look at brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, I'll never be as good as them. You're not supposed to be as good as them. This book and this relationship with Christ is a one-on-one basis. You understand? You may not ever be able to accomplish what they accomplish, but you need to accomplish what he wants you to accomplish. That's the important thing. It's not a competition. All right, our role in this process, okay? So it's a step of faith. You make the step of faith. All right, Lord, start by yielding. Lord, I'm slowing down. I'm stopping. I'm making this decision to do so. I love you, Lord. You're important to me. He comes in and watch what he does. It doesn't make sense, but it adds up. It all adds up. 1 Thessalonians, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That's what he's after. That ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. This is the will of God. Amen. Ephesians. Now let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. This may be the last place I have you turn. All right, Ephesians 4, verse 11. We've got a few verses here. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and for what? The perfecting of the saints. Okay, perfecting in what sense? Complete. Complete how or complete why? Complete in God's eyes, okay? Lord, what do you want me to be? What is it, Lord, in your mind that I'm supposed to be for you? I want to be perfect in him. Complete. For the work of the ministry, for what? The edifying of the body of Christ. You cannot edify the body of Christ when you're self-centered, when it's all about you. And, you know, you'll get far more reward giving. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I love getting. Listen, you can give me a bad gift. That's fine. I just like the getting. Sometimes the getting is as fun as whatever the gift is. But, buddy, when you give out, you know what it does? It does something for your soul. It helps you in a way that you'd never help yourself by any pill or by anything else. You give, there's so many things that take place in your heart, help you, heal you. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's not just, what does this church have for me? No, Lord, what can I do for you? What can I do for your people? How can you help me to bless others, to edify you? Till we all come in the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man, complete, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that's a lot, that we henceforth be no more children. Why did Paul put that there? You think there may be some people acting like children in the church? Don't be a child. Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Is being carried about with every wind of doctrine childish? Apparently. Why? Because you're not established in the on the bottle by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to. I'm not going to just go down to any old church or just listen to whatever anybody says. Why? The Bible tells me they lie in wait to deceive. They're waiting and ready to try and deceive you and I, the flock. Just separate them. See, your strength is in unity. Unity in what? Christ. The body of Christ. If they can pull one of those sheep off to the side, then they got them. Pull them out just a little bit. Inch by inch until they got them. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, they grow up into all things, which is the head, even Christ. We're growing up in Christ, for Christ, for Him, from the whole body, fitly joined together. Boy, I'm telling you, you talk about some good church services when everybody's fitly joined together. You don't have to like everybody. It is okay to sit in church and not prefer someone else in the church. Love them. I love you because I see Christ in you. Just because you don't prefer them doesn't mean they're not godly. They're different. They probably think you're different. But love them. Understand who they are. Put up with them. Amen. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. All right, I wanted to go, let's see. Let's go down. Yeah, verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. That all that, he says, you're guilty who haven't learned Christ. Why are you miserable? Why you have no power with God? Your life's a mess. Your money's a mess. Everything. Why? Because ye have not so learned Christ. And why? How can you say that? Because I haven't obtained. But you get in the Word and you allow God to control your life and miraculous things happen. Your family has unity. The bank account seems to just change a little bit from what it used to be. Every aspect, he needs to permeate every aspect of your life. And you got that, listen, you got, Brother Andrew mentioned that illustration he had heard from someone before. If, as long as your hands are open, if God's pouring down money and your hands are open, it'll fall through your hands. But the minute you put your hands and try to grab some of it, it falls right past you. If you'll let it go through you, it'll be amazing what you'll do. But you have to say, Lord, whatever it is, before it gets here, Lord, it's yours before it gets here. Watch what he does. All right, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. And you know the rest of this. All right, we're going to move on to... You're familiar with the rest of that passage, but all right, the next one. He loves. Scroll all the way down. Oh. All right, number 10, he loves. Oh. Oh, good heavens. Now I've lost it. Oh, there's one. There's one. Okay, we're good. It wouldn't be me unless something goes wrong with this. All right. There we go. All right. He loves. Pretty important, amen. Hey, loving you and I, there's some things he had to overcome, amen. He loves you because of what he sees in us, amen? In other words, what we could be through him, being conformed to his son. He loved us and we were unlovable. Pretty remarkable. Romans 15:30, how wonderful to know each believer is loved by God. Henceforth, John 15:50, henceforth I call you not servants. The servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you. What a friend we have in Jesus. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what he did for you. John 15:14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And that's interesting, and I suppose it makes sense, and goes without saying, but it bears repeating. But the fact is, Peter, do you love me? Well, of course I do, Lord. Do my commandments. By your fruit shall you know them. Are you serving God? Are you biblical? Are you following after Scripture? Then chances are you love God. But I'm not listening so much to what you're saying. I'm watching what you're doing. Say all you want to. What are you doing? All these nuts that want to correct the Bible and They want to, you know, we have liberty in Christ to do whatever we want to. All right, what are you doing for God? I hear your doctrine. I hear everything you're saying. Tell me what you've done for Christ. Nothing. Most of them. James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Wow. See, this is the personality of God right there. God called, he said, hey, that man right there that I created, he's my friend. Remarkable. All right, I'm going to get through this last one. All right, last one, he grieves. How is it? Tell me, Lord. All right, verse number 11, he grieves. All right, Ephesians 4:30, we just read that. Paul is actually telling the Ephesians to stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God. This grieving attribute of the Holy Spirit is really an extension of his love. For while one may be angered by his enemies, he can only be grieved. The saying is, you only hurt the ones you love. Amen? Grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, this lends itself toward our consecration. I'm not talking about a it's consecration. And consecration in the sense that we are set apart for him. Now, if you're going to attend church and do whatever you want to do and serve God however you want to do, then you're probably constantly grieving the Holy Spirit and you don't care. The word consecration means you are set apart for a specific purpose. And that goes along with our sanctification. Amen? And we are set apart and truly furnished through all good works for him, by him, and to him. That's what we are for. And if you're doing that, then you'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and you'll understand the fact that you can grieve the Holy Spirit. All right, we're going to go and take a time. We'll do the last one here real quick, and that is he prays. Now, I mentioned this already. In difficult moments of our lives, it is comforting to know we are being prayed for, perhaps by family members or some concerned pastor or church member, but how much more blessed to realize that the Holy Spirit of God offers up fervent and effectual prayers for us. Amen. All right, Brother Jeff, would you pray for us?